I'm here with Ian Harvey-Stone on a slightly noisy Fringe City, and I'm staring at probably the most striking flyer I've seen this Fringe, The Devil Without. So tell us about that, Ian.
Oh, it's an adaptation of Faust. It's a riff on Faust, and it's based on the works of Neil Gaiman and Alan Moore. And I've used the conceit that Faust didn't die at the end of Act 5, but kept running. He outwitted the devil. So the audience are invited into the space as dreamers. Faust hides behind the audience, but it soon becomes apparent that the devil without tries to get within, and it starts to probe the defences. Now, we're in a church in Hove, which is a gorgeous space, and it becomes apparent that the creature's trying to get in. And there's certain ways that we do this. One of the things I'm using is a Helmholtz resonator, which is a speaker that plays sound you can't hear. It plays it at 16 hertz, but it makes the pews of the church vibrate. And I'm using other mentalism techniques. I'm a trained mentalist and hypnotist. So that's the kind of concept. And it's been terrifying people and delighting them in equal measure.
I guess the modern kind of metaphor for the Faustian legend now is the voice in our head, you know, the temptation that's subtle. And I guess, is that what you're looking at a bit?
And looking at, yeah, we're very much so. When we're looking at what, with that door is open, can you resist that open door? You know, we're built inquisitive. That's how humans operate. So it's when you're offered that choice, that sweet choice, is it possible to turn it down?
So do you think that the real devil, the real Mephistopheles, would make use of mentalism as much as magic in the modern world?
Oh, yeah. Well, if I believed in Mephistopheles or the devil, then absolutely. I mean, there is a lot of prehistory in the show to do with John Dee and metaphor and also Enochian. So there's elements of that in the show. There's the history of magic in the show. But yeah, I'm sure that if the devil was going to use anything, they'd be using mentalism.
Right. So you don't believe in the devil?
I don't believe in the devil, no.
Do you think that Faust, that people like Goethe did?
I believe that because of their mindset and the Elizabethan chain and what they believed, I believe that, yes, I think they believed in some form of the devil, yeah.
So when you start coming up with that idea, and now you could have realised that in a number of ways, couldn't you? You could have written a book, you could have created film. You brought it to St Andrews in Brighton. How do you start to imagine that for the stage?
Well, what I wanted to do very much was use some of the skill set that I've developed over the last 10 years in hypnotism and mentalism, but I wanted to put it in a proper theatrical context, because one of the things I think is it's not used in that way. It's basically done as a cabaret show, and I wanted a totally immersive experience. The church was a gift. We nearly got in the crypt. They just wouldn't let us in the crypt because there were dead bodies down there. But the church, when I found the church, the whole idea is he's going to a found space. It can be anywhere. It could be a cellar. It could be the cellar of a pub. But, you know, the church, when I saw the church and I talked to Sweet Venues about the church, it became readily apparent that it was a perfect fit for the show.
So then when you tour it, do you tour different churches?
No, it's going to be different, like I said, different places. So it might be a found space in some railway arches, or in Edinburgh, for instance, it was in the India buildings. So it changes wherever we go. It's got quite an organic feel to it. We adapt to the space that we find ourselves in.
So using a very kind of coarse bit of mentalism, but let me climb inside your head and then follow you around from space to space. So as you walk into a space, what's going on as you see it for the first time?
Okay, so the first thing I'm looking at is angles. I want to see what the audience will see, because the audience is half the show. I'm also looking at access, getting people up and down, so I'm looking from a very theatrical point. Then I start to look about how I can integrate certain elements of mentalism into what I found in the space, because each space will offer new opportunities. So there might be, for instance, a corner of the church that I look at and I think, now that would be perfect for X, and I will start to install that. So the show changes ever so slightly from venue to venue.
And so this is going to be brand new for some people that are listening to this. So on the one side, we've got theatre, we've got plays, we've got scripts, we've got staging. On the other, we've got mentalism, which actually at one level is a practice that can help people give up smoking and all of that. And on the other, there are mentalism shows. How are you fusing that together?
I'm trying to do an equal weighting. It's interesting that you mentioned that mentalism can help people do things that give up smoking. And I am a trained hypnotherapist. In the show, there's a part where I make an opening gambit to do a phobia cure on everybody in the room. So some people genuinely leave the show and they've lost their phobia. So it's kind of like a little thing that we give to the audience as part of the show. So I'm incorporating all of those elements. There's a therapeutic element, there's a theatrical element, and there's also that kind of mystery element where it's bordering on the esoteric.
And is there something around scriptedness and improvisation as well that comes in?
Yeah, we call it jazz mentalism. There's moments where I'm using the audience, and this show is dependent on the audience. So depending who we get on the night depends how the show will work.
Right.
Like yesterday we had a lady for the final moment who was amazing. She was a natural imaginative dreamer, and she was phenomenal. Other nights I have to work it a bit, and sometimes I'm content to let the audience take it in a new direction. And very much there's a frame, but within that frame there's room to adventure.
And how has creating and bringing this to the stage actually impacted on your own development?
It's made me think a lot about how I work, about how I come across to people, and it made me go off and seek a director. After I played it in Edinburgh, I said, look, I need to get this properly seen by a critical eye because I'm too close to the project. So it made me realise I can't do everything myself, that I theatre is a collaborative art. And unique collaborators.
Now, Neil Gaiman, Alan Moore, Mephistopheles, you're in some quite good company here.
Well, Alan Moore wrote me a nice letter saying, you know, do it. I have no kind of attachment to it. And Neil Gaiman very kindly retweeted my tweets and things, so he's on board. So, yeah, Neil Gaiman wished me the best of luck, and I was very careful to say it's inspired by it, and that I'm not kind of, you know, it's an organic kind of growth from their material. But, you know, I've read that stuff since I was, like, 11 or 12. So.
Final question then. So on the ongoing journey of this, where do you go creatively next?
Well, from this, I've been talking with Sweet Venues about organising a new version of Shakespeare, where we hypnotise the actors and the audience then throw in suggestions. So it's called Somnambulist Shakespeare, possibly. I'm also looking at a Houdini seance, where I invite audience into a space for a seance and they actually take part, but it's more theatre because it's an argument between Houdini and Arthur Conan Doyle, which very famously took place when Arthur Conan Doyle's wife tried to conjure Houdini's mother. So, you know, it will be an evening in the company of these two great men, and the audience will make up the other people around the table.
We're standing here with Ian on some concrete, which is New Road. I think we're breaking new ground here.
Yes, absolutely.
So come and see The Devil Without, which is happening at the Jukebox Theatre at St Andrews. And it's the final dates are the
29th and the 30th, but it's on tonight at 7:30 and then next week at 9:30.
Brilliant. Thanks very much for talking to us.
Thank you very much.